Morning, church.
Morning.
It's good to see you this morning. Please turn to the letter of the Apostle Peter. 1 Peter, chapter number 1. Our message this morning is actually a bird's eye view, introduction to this epistle of Peter. We're looking from the outward, inwardly. As we were going to go through the first letter of Peter is our exposition with the gospel according to Matthew. So we'll do Matthew and do Peter. Peter chapter number 1. So we're looking at Peter's greeting to the church this morning. We read just the first verse, but it will be advisable, church, that you may read the whole chapter. But just the first verse, it reads as following. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are elect exiles of dispensation in Potimus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. The good Lord add a blessing to the reading of His word. You are wondering, what are we going to get from these words? We're just looking at the greeting that Peter is bringing to the church. But what I want to bring before you, church, is that I want to remind you that in every generation and in every place where the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is, there is always something of great discouragement when it comes to the issue of persecution. What we're looking at this morning is a church that is persecuted, a church that is going through difficult times, persecution that comes in various ways, in various forms, for various reasons. But of course, persecution does not always come in the same form. People does not suffer the same way wherever they are. Christians are not persecuted the same way wherever they are. But there is one thing we need to know about persecution. Although persecution does not come in the same form, but it comes to slow down or completely discourage the growth of the church. Persecution is to discourage the growth of the church. Why would persecution discourage the growth of the church? Because it is the devil's way or the devil's means to slow down the Christian faith in the world. But I want to say again, in God's wisdom, persecution actually has helped the church to grow in the most parts of the earth. Therefore, when we look at a persecuted church like the church or the churches we will be looking at here, when we look at a persecuted church, we need to seek God's heart towards His people, God's heart towards those who are suffering for the sake of their faith. Persecution needs to help us. When you look at a persecuted church, you need to know that God's heart is on these people. Because it is easy to think that when people are going through persecution, God has turned a blind eye on them. But we must know that God is on His people's side. So, church, this morning, I want us to observe just three important aspects of the outward reality that informs the writing of this letter. There is an outward reality as we are going to zoom in into this letter in other weeks, but it is something of a structure that needs to govern our thinking as we come to understand this letter. We need something to guide us, something to help us, something to bring something of an encouragement to us as we go through a persecuted church. So three things I want us to look at. First, I would like us to observe the writer of this letter, Peter, an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you look at verse number 1, the writer identifies himself as Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. That may not seem important to us right now because we know that Peter is an apostle. But remember, as you are reading a letter, you need to put yourself in the situation where these people are. So as the people are reading and seeing that this letter is coming from Peter, there is a message that is being communicated to them. And that is the message that we need to be reminded of
as well as the children of God. So the writer identifies himself then as Peter, the apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, what he writes to this church has a spiritual stamp of approval from God himself. That is very important. What he writes to these people has a spiritual stamp of authority that comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. You will need to remember that Peter is one of the initial 12 apostles who were chosen by the Lord Jesus Christ. They were chosen to be his witnesses, the witness of resurrection. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ was the message that these people were supposed to take and send out into the world. These people were supposed to be those who go out and preach the good news of the kingdom of God, and preach the good news of reconciliation with God, that man in sin can be reconciled with God who is holy through the Lord Jesus Christ. But what is important again here, church, is that Peter identifies himself with Jesus. He says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus. He identifies himself with Jesus. He claims to have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He has a personal experience of walking with the Lord Jesus Christ. That comes handy then to these believers. So Peter says he is an apostle. What is an apostle? I don't want to go through and rebuke those who claim to be an apostle this morning. That is not what is this about. But church, we need to know what an apostle is. As Peter identified himself as an apostle was a man chosen by the Lord Jesus Christ, a man chosen and given a message by the Lord Jesus Christ, a man sent out. The word meant a person who would be sent out into the world to represent the Lord Jesus Christ physically in the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ. These people, or Peter, then claimed to be one of those elite number of people who sat with the Lord Jesus Christ, who learned direct from the Lord Jesus Christ, unlike you learning from me, of course, direct from Jesus in his words, but it is Peter and the apostles, they sat next to Jesus Christ. That is what made them an apostle. God chose them. Jesus Christ chose them to be the sent out ones. Those who will go into the world and preach the gospel. Those who were given a mandate, if you will, from the Lord Jesus Christ. They were given marching orders, like when you study about army and the world of soldier. You know that a soldier gets his mandate or his marching order from the one who is the commander or the one who is in charge. So Jesus is in charge of the whole faith, is in charge of the heaven and earth. So he chose men to go forth into the world to build the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. To be an apostle, Peter now claims then to be part of that foundational structure that we have today. The foundational structure of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's one of those people. So as he writes to these people, he communicates this message. These people need to know that actually this person is a person who understands what we are going through. We will know, we will see that. That Peter is one of the people who understand what this church is going through. So he introduced himself in this manner because his name was to get their full attention. If you study your Bible or you have been listening in church about Peter, when somebody speaks of Peter, you've got a picture in your mind about Peter. So these people had learned, they have heard of Peter. So when Peter writes and puts his name there, he draws their attention. They want to know, what is this Peter going to tell us? We know this Peter. This was a weak man. This man, we've got something that we know about him. So his name draws their attention. Perhaps they will sense in their own heart that this man has got an understanding of persecution, because Peter, church, was also persecuted. Peter went through difficult time. Peter was almost killed for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, in Acts chapter number 4, we are told in Acts chapter number 4 that Peter, as he was preaching, the Bible tells us in Acts chapter number 4 that they were beaten for preaching the gospel. Persecution started. The leaders of the church were beaten. But as you go through and read the book of Acts, in chapter number 12, we learn that Peter was actually put in prison and almost beheaded for preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But also as we look at the name of Peter, they needed to remember that Peter then was not an angel. You see, when somebody comes to you in difficult times and he wants to comfort you, it's easy to think that the person is comforting you because he's not in your situation. It's easy to comfort somebody when you are not in the same situation. So these people must not think that Peter is some kind of an angel who has not suffered before. Peter is a man just like themselves. Peter is a man who suffered just as they suffered. Therefore then, the message that Peter is going to bring to these people will not be an artificial message or superficial kind of a message. When he speaks to them, they will know that this man understands what we are going through. When he tells them how to hold on in this time of suffering and persecution, they will understand that Peter speaks from experience, and though not only experience, he speaks the word of God. Peter was not an angel. As he mentioned his name, it comes out to them that this is the man who denied the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the man who was overwhelmed with fear in time of persecution. Now he's writing to us. This is the man who denied the Lord Jesus Christ 3 times in one night. But this is a man who has changed. This is the man whom Jesus Christ strengthened afterwards. The Lord Jesus Christ turned Peter to a man of strength and fearlessness, a man of faithfulness. So as he comes to them, he comes to them as the right man to write these words, a changed man who can bring the mind of God to the people, a changed man who will tell the people of God's heart, God's mind about these people, a man who went through temporal suffering and knew that it was temporal suffering. As he comes to them, they remember that Peter doubted that God could protect him. So he decided to live a life of a lie than to die for the truth. But that is the past. So what can this man tell us? This man can tell us the mind of God. Peter comes with experience to write to these people. They remember that Peter was a self-confidence man. A man who trusted in himself and church. Peter then communicates, the name of Peter communicates the fact that people should not put their confidence in themselves. Remember what Peter said when Jesus told him or told all of them that he will deny the Lord Jesus Christ. When you read Matthew chapter number 26 verse 35, this is what Peter says. Even if I must die for you, I will not deny you. And all this, the disciples says the same. So Peter was unwisely boastful in his courage and commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. You must not be unwisely boastful. In other words, he put all his trust upon himself that he can do this. But he learns later on that you can only put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when Peter failed, here's the very important thing that we need to know. When Peter failed, Christ came and strengthened him. Christ came and he called him, Peter, Peter, feed my flock, feed my sheep. He strengthened him. That is what Peter is then doing. So this Christian remembers that Peter has got a message that came from the Lord Jesus Christ, that he should feed the sheep of the Lord Jesus Christ. He should strengthen them in times of difficulty. We know that he did that. Peter got courage. When Jesus Christ was taken up to heaven, Jesus Christ sent them into the whole world. We find Peter in Acts chapter number 2. He stood up there. He stood up in the midst of the crowd. Instead of having fear of persecution, Peter stood up and preached a message that turned sinners into saints. Peter was a fearless man. He stood up and he preached. And this church knew, these churches that he's writing to, they know that this man is the first man to preach the gospel. He's the first man to make sure that it is true that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is founded on a foundation, on a foundational rock, the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. He preached the gospel. So Peter comes as a man to encourage these people, because Peter has a testimony that Christ strengthened his people in difficult times. That is what you get. Christ strengthened his people in difficult times. The name of Peter, when you read about this name, when they look at it, the name of Peter here, they need to know that this name is a name that comes, is a name that testifies the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. If the Lord Jesus Christ can strengthen a man who denied him, the Lord Jesus Christ can strengthen a church that is going through persecution. So what is Peter saying to this church in a nutshell? Peter is telling these people, in other words then, or his name communicate to these people that you are afflicted in every way. God knows about it. You are crushed in every way. God knows about it. You are perplexed. You are almost driven to despair. But God has not forsaken you. God has not forsaken you, because God does not forsake his people. Whether they are struck down, whether they are destroyed, but God does not forsake his people. These people is telling them then that as we're going through persecution, we are carrying in yourself, in your body, we are carrying the suffering that the Lord Jesus Christ also suffered, that the apostle also suffered. So they need to be encouraged that it is not an unusual thing that has come upon them. The name of Peter should remind them that every Christian has his or her own struggles in this way, in this world. We all have our own personal struggles. We will struggle, we will suffer for the gospel. As they suffer for the gospel, they need to stand strong individually and also corporately. How do they stand strong individually? How do we stand strong individually? By taking heed on the word of God. They need to suck, as it were, the milk that comes from the mouth of God, the word of God. They need to stand together as a church by praying together. Remember what happened to Peter and them as persecution continued in Acts chapter number 4. We are told that they prayed together. They became bold and preached the gospel. So what he communicates is the unity of believers even in persecution. Believers need to be united. In difficult times, believers need to be united. In troublesome time, even in our families, as believers, we need to be united. You cannot afford, when the going gets tough, to have a part of the family going that way and another part of the family going that way. Unity is very important in difficult times. But we unite in the name of Jesus. Peter is the one who then was sent out by the Lord Jesus Christ to unite the apostles who were scattered around. Remember when Jesus Christ died, they all went to their own homes, said the Bible. But Peter had to strengthen them. Now he's teaching them that they need to strengthen one another in difficult times. Church, Peter's name should remind them that in their persecution and suffering, they should always identify themselves with Jesus. That is why it says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus. Identify yourself with Jesus, even in persecution. In other words, in the midst of trouble, they should not forget the Lord Jesus Christ. In the midst of trouble, they should be encouraged and never forget where they come from in terms of faith. Why is Peter doing so? Peter is aware that the trouble has a way of changing people's focus. Trouble has a way of stealing people's focus. Trouble has a way of causing your faith to waver. Trouble is a way of making you look like the world around you. When people are going through difficult times, normally they end up looking like the world around them. They see the easy life that other people are going through, then it is easy to go that way. When they're going through difficult times, they must just stay at home. What is the use of going to church? I am suffering. why my neighbor is staying at home and nothing is happening to him. Peter understands the disunity that comes because of persecution. So Peter comes as a man to unite these believers. Persecution does not have to give us a new definition of who we are. We will see that in the next point. Persecution shall not separate us from the love of God. Persecution must not help us to forget who we are. He says in verse number 3, there is a living hope that they have obtained in the Lord Jesus Christ. So they need to remember this living hope that they've obtained in the Lord Jesus Christ. You have obtained something worth dying for. So persecution should not separate you from the love of God. So it was important for this church to know that the man writing to them understand persecution. He went through the very same thing that they are going through. He will speak the mind of God. He will speak the word of God to them. So Peter, church, you can see here, Peter is not bringing, please listen, he's not bringing his personal testimony of how he suffered and how he endures. That is not what Peter is doing. Peter is bringing the Lord Jesus Christ to these people. He speaks of a living hope. The name that you want to hear in your persecution, the name that you want to hear in your troubled time, is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, not someone else. Testimony of how he conquered the devil. Peter is not doing that. He's drawing the people to the name above every other name. He says there's a living hope, and that living hope is in Jesus Christ, not in knowing how I went through my suffering. Peter is an apostle, a sent out of God, bringing a message. Yes, now you know that. Let us consider what Peter is calling these people in a second point. Peter is calling these people exiles. He calls them exiles. What does that mean? He calls them sojourners in another translation, or strangers. These people are exiles. These people are not those who are welcome in this world. So he's writing to people who are strangers to the world they are living in. They are exiles. Why or how did they become exiles? I think that is very important. As we are going to be zooming in into this epistle, we need to know the people he's writing to and what they are. We need to learn from their situation. He calls them exiles. Church, the world around us has a perspective about Christians. They've got what they think Christianity is, and that leads to people to react positively or negatively towards Christianity. So in the time when Peter wrote, what was happening here, the world around that time, it may be so even today, had a perspective of Christians, and that led the people of the world to persecute the Christian church. They saw the Christian church as people who did not fit into society. They were labeled as troublemakers. Why? Because when the Christian came to a home, the Christian will come to a home, preach the gospel in a home, and the wife will respond positively to the gospel. And when the husband does not respond positively to the gospel, then there will be strife in the house. So it looks like Christianity is bringing a division in the community. So these were troublemakers. And people who believed this gospel never again wanted to be part of anything that the society was doing that it was outside the will of God. So they had this wrong view of Christianity. So they began to persecute the church of God from one area, especially here, it is written because the persecution was in Rome. So these people got scattered throughout the world because the people had a wrong perspective of the Christian. Well, then the answer why these people were exiles is because the world was against them. But I read somewhere that someone once said, when the world is against you, is because you are against the world. That is what was happening here. The world was against the Christian because the Christians were against the world. So, as we read here, we are informed then, as we read the text and we read the history of Christianity, we are informed that the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, this is where this thing started. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ brought great news of joy to the Christians. That Jesus Christ rose from the dead. The Christians were happy that their leader rose from the dead, because that resurrection news communicated to them that one day they will also rise from the dead. That there's actually life after death. That the same Spirit who rose Christ from the dead will raise them on the last day. It was good news for them. So they went forth and preached this good news. But in the very same resurrection, it came something of sorrow and pain, if you will, against these Christians. Because wherever they went and preached this news of resurrection, the people considered them to be rebels, to be those against the law. The people considered them to be against anything that was man-made law at the time. The people considered them to have a dangerous message, a message that gave a false hope, according to them, in quotation mark. They didn't believe that resurrection is possible. But the Christian brought good news that not only are we hoping we will rise from the dead, our leader, our Lord Jesus Christ, has risen from the dead. The tomb is empty. He's alive. So that message became a message of a threat, if you will. Because many people began to follow this Christianity. Many people resolved to put their hope and their trust on the hands of this faithful Jesus who rose from the dead. So Christianity began to grow, and the people looked at Christianity as it was a sect or a group or a political party, if you will. So they looked at them as a sect growing, trying to take over the world. So they persecuted them. So they viewed them wrongly. They viewed the Christian message wrong and they persecuted them. So these people, they live in a world, our world, the same world, but they live as though they were living in exile. Especially here in South Africa, you know what exile means. They were living apart from other people of their same mind. They were living in a place where they had no peace, a place where they did not have rest. A place where they were treated like slaves. They were in exile while living in this world because of the message they hope, the message they had, the message of the gospel. You look in verse number 1, that is where Peter says they were exiles of dispensation in Potiphar's, in Asia, and everywhere. There were people that were scattered around, people that did not have their families around them anymore. But before church, they even found themselves there. This is what is important for us to remember or to know about these people. Before they found themselves exiled, wherever they were exiled, these people were blamed for every wrong that was happening around wherever they were. These people were blamed for any injustice that was happening in the society. The armies will go out and burn people's houses. The Christian will be blamed for that. Because they wanted the Christians to look bad in the eyes of society. Most of these people were burnt at the stake. They were burnt alive by Nero, who was emperor at the time, sending out a message that if you become a Christian, you are against the state. So that is the reason why these people ran away from where they were. That's the reason why these people became exiles, those who are rejected by the world. But here's the thing, church. As they went out there, not only were they persecuted where they come from. Please, listen. Not only were they persecuted where they come from, even when they went, where they went, in these areas where they were, Peter's saying they are exiles there. In other words, the people there does not welcome them. They were not welcome among the people wherever they went. For various reasons, church. These people were not welcome wherever they went, because these people will refuse to conform to the standard of the world wherever they were. It didn't mean that because now we are living in Olivan and Olivan is sinful, so it is fine also that we also become like the people of Olivan. No. These people refused to fit in into the system of the world, and the people then rejected them. These people wanted to build a different standard of life wherever they went. These people didn't want to bow down to the gods that were worshipped there, because they had a God who is in heaven. They remembered their Savior wherever they were. I wonder if we do remember our own Savior wherever we are. These people remembered the Lord Jesus Christ wherever they were. These people will not fit in to the system of this world. They will refuse to be like the people of this world. They will refuse to worship the false gods of this world. And above all, they will refuse to be quiet about the message of the cross. Wherever they were, they preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Wherever they were, they became threat to the people, because they told the people that the very same Jesus who rose from the dead ascended unto heaven, but he is coming back to judge the world of sin and those outside the Lord Jesus Christ. That scared the people out there. That scared them. That the Jesus they're talking about is coming back. But that was the message they had to hold on to the end. They held on to that message. That is the message we always have to hold on unto. Jesus Christ is coming back. That's what they preach. But not only were they hated because of their message, but they were hated because their leader was a Jewish man. At the time, the Gentiles were enemies of the Jews. So wherever they were, they will go to Gentile land. It means land that is non-Jewish. So whenever they spoke to the people, they spoke of Jesus, who was a Jew. Then they hated them for the fact that they are coming here to bring a leader who is Jewish. Like today, as we were talking, Nobaba Mnyakeni Ngapanz. Like today, it's also happening. When you preach the gospel and you speak of Jesus, many people, they still say, but he was a Jew. That's why you have all these false churches flying around there. They've got their own little messiahs. Some have got Lihanyana, their little messiah. Some have got Shembe, their little messiah. Everybody's got a little messiah. Why? Because the messiah must be black. Because this messiah we're talking about is Jew. So it happened even that time. They didn't want to know about the leader who was Jewish. So the people were persecuted. But what happened, church? They held on to the message of truth. They will not fit in to the standard of the world. And they were hated and they were persecuted. These people left the comfort of their home. That's what persecution does, church. That's what trouble does. They leave the comfort of their home. They left behind everything that they held dear to. They left behind everything they loved and some people they really cared about, and they were scattered into an unknown land. But here's the thing. As they were scattered in an unknown land, they were scattered with unknown people. People who did not even know the gospel. Look at God's ways of dealing with things. These people are scattered by persecution, unknown land, people does not know God, does not know the gospel. What do you see there? God making an opportunity for other people through the suffering of others that the gospel may be preached throughout the world. So as they were scattered there, God was saving souls through them. As the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is scattering around, when we talk about the church, we're talking about individual people, as we are scattered around throughout the week, if I may bring it home, in our different places, wherever we are, the message of the gospel is preached. Does people hear of the risen Savior wherever we are? Peter is encouraging these believers who are mistreated to hold on unto the Lord Jesus Christ. They were mistreated for their faith, but they must not blend in with the system of the world. Because it is easy when the going gets tough and people will kind of compromise their lifestyle, they will compromise how they raise their children just because the world is changing. Peter says, never compromise. Hold on unto the Lord Jesus Christ and his ways. That is the danger, church, that we see even among us or around us. When things are going bad, you end up not knowing who the Christian is and who the Christian is not. Yes, you are exiled. Yes, you are strangers in this world. But you do not have to treat yourself like strangers among the people. The message of the gospel must always shine forth as you live among the people. Whether your neighbors accept you or they reject you, whether your neighbors they love you or they hate you, hold on to the gospel of hope. Call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So these people need to bear witness of the grace that is poured upon them, the grace of God. Yes, they are exiles, they are aliens, but the environment around them should not determine them. But church, there's something I want to bring to you now. Something as my third point. Peter is calling these people the elect of God. But before we get to that, I want to show you something. While Peter is calling them the elect of God, the word exile still remains. Remember, on my second point, I was talking the way the world looked at the people. They look at them as strangers and they mistreated them. But here's the thing. Peter, when he's using this word, strangers or exile, he's using this word on a positive note. I want you to see that. It doesn't matter the fact that the world saw them as strangers, then Peter will not call them strangers. Actually, they are strangers, but on a positive way. So it is true that the Christian God has chosen them in two ways. First, to be exiles or to be strangers in this world, to be aliens in this world. God chose them not to belong where they are. That's the word. Peter is reminding them that they don't belong where they are. Because if you tell people that they belong where they are, people will be comfortable with the situation where they are and actually fit into the system of the world. Peter is reminding them in that word, alien. You don't belong where you are. On a positive note, the world might be calling you aliens on a physical note, that you don't belong here, you don't have the citizenship of this country where you are, that is true, and they persecute you for that is true, but actually, you are aliens. You don't belong here. You don't have the citizenship that is eternal here. Your home is in heaven where your citizenship is. That is why I use this word, exiles, on a positive note. They are exiles. God looks at them as strangers in the world on a positive note. When God looks at us, he's looking at people that he will come and take home soon. So we are strangers. We are here as visitors. We are passing by. The time will come where we will pass by and enter into the eternal life prepared for us by the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the message that the Apostle Peter is bringing to the people. They belong to a different world, and this world is not their home. As they build houses in this world, as they have families in this world, they don't build houses and they don't have families and put their hope in this world. This world is passing by. So the Christian should actually be looking at the people of the world and says, yes, you're treating us as strangers, but actually you are the strangers. Because in the world to come, the people who never was part of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the people who did not believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says they will be outside the gates. They will be outside heaven. So they will be strangers. But that will be eternal to them. So to be strangers today is a good thing. It's a reminder that we are passing by. But our eternal home awaits us in heaven, where this spiritual reality will become a physical reality. It's a spiritual reality, but it will be a physical reality when everybody sees that indeed they were strangers in that old world. Now they've entered a new world. So you use that word also on a positive note. So when a Christian has been called a stranger, it is the right thing. It is because the Christian refused to conform to the things of this world. It is because the Christian refused to dance for the music of this world. It is because the Christian refused to go to the parties that the people of this world go to. It is because the Christian refused to listen to the garbage that the people are listening to these days and build their life upon that. Because that is very strange to them. They've got a home that is in heaven. My question is that strange to you as well? The music they listen to, the places they go to, the drinks that they drink and enjoy, does that feel strange to you? Or are you feeling part of it as well? Because the strangers, these exiles, were never part of it. He says here, they are elect. Look at your Bible. Those who are elect. He calls them the elect. There's a sense here that they were once separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers of the covenant of promise according to the word of God, having no hope in this world without God, but now in Christ, those who are far off have been brought near. He calls them elect. In other words, the Christians, although they suffer persecution, I'm not going to teach the doctrine of election, right? But I want to bring this, how is this word bringing encouragement to the Christians? The Christians have a great privilege. They are those who are chosen by God in this world. Even in great trouble, they belong to God. Peter is calling them elect regardless of the fact that they are going through persecution. They are those chosen by God. This message that is bringing to them then should encourage them to never go back to the world of sin that God elected them from, that God snatched them from. These people need to hold on to the faith that was once delivered to them by the Lord Jesus Christ and also the apostles. So, church, coming to Jesus, in other words, is not a choice that you personally make outside the Lord Jesus Christ. He says they were elect. They didn't just choose to be part of the movement. That is why coming to Jesus is not like choosing a political party. When you choose a political party today, tomorrow they disappoint you, they don't deliver according to their promises, then you jump ship. You choose a different party that is a good party, that is a party that is promising all the good things. You begin to wear your red t-shirt, but coming to Jesus is different. It's not like choosing a party. You are chosen by God. He says they are the elect of God. You are God's chosen. Persecution and difficult time does not make you jump ship now. The fact that Peter is bringing this word is trying to tell them, remember your election and make your election sure. Remember to remain the children of God. We are not part of the world. We are separate from them. We are not one of them. We are the elect of God. We are God's chosen people, God's chosen elements in this world. So your persecution does not define you again. Persecution does not change our status with God. Persecution, according to this word now, does not say that God has forsaken you. Peter is still calling them elect. God has not forsaken you. You are still God's elect. The question is, when did God elect these people? Did God elect these people when they believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and elected them? Or did God saw that these people were going to believe in Jesus and then elected them? When did God elect these people? Does persecution now make these people the elect of God? Just because they are holding on, now they become the elect of God. When did God elect the people? When did God elect you? When did God elect the Christian? When? Let's turn to Ephesians chapter number 1. Because that's the word Peter is using here. And I think Ephesians chapter number 1 answers us, when did God elect these people? We realize that God elected and appointed these people to eternal life before the foundation of the world. Can I repeat that? God elected and appointed these people to eternal life before the foundation of the world. Last week we read Acts chapter number 13, verse 48. And it says, as the Gentiles, those who did not know anything about God, all those who were appointed to eternal life, they believed. But now, as we read here, let us read Ephesians chapter number 1, verse number 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Listen, church. Even as He chose us, please look at that word chose, is past tense, back in the day. Even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him, in love He predestined us, that's verse number 5, for the adoption as sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of His will. Church, when did God elect these people? Peter is bringing something of that is very important here. God elected these people to salvation before the foundation of the world. So the present reality does not change anything. Your present suffering does not change anything in terms of your faith. Whatever you're going through right now, church is writing to them, saying, whatever you're going through right now has not changed God's mind. And it will never change God's mind. You are the elect of God. Put that upon your shoulder and be boastful about that. That suffering does not define us as the world defines us. But the word of God, the truth that comes from God, define us. We are the elect of God. So when you consider this word elect, you soon realize then that God, or when you as a person elect, you must elect among a multitude of people. You don't have two people and elect those two people. The word elect doesn't work there. Election has to be a competition in a word form. When the elections comes next year, 2019, it's a competition of all the parties on the ballot paper. And when you elect, you will choose one. When you choose two, your election ballot paper does not work. So election is whereby you choose from a multitude. So in the same sense here, you realize that God then chose the Christians among the multitudes of people in this world, but for his own purpose. He chose them and bypassed others. I mentioned this last time, and I don't want to go through it again. But when He chose the Christian, He bypassed others. In other words, He didn't choose the others. He chose those who will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He chose those who will suffer for the gospel. But still, here's the message, when they suffer for the gospel, they will stand in the truth. Because that is what is important. So Peter says, don't forget, you are chosen by God. Even when you suffer for the gospel, God is on your side. And that is the reason the world does not approve of your lifestyle of righteousness. Because you are chosen by God. That is the reason the world does not approve of your belief system of righteousness and reconciliation to God. Because you are chosen by God. That is the reason the world does not approve of your choice not to condone or to conform into sin. Because you are chosen by God. So a Christian is chosen by God to worship God. The Christian is chosen by God not only just to live a good life. As we see here, church, these people were not necessarily living like me and you, having their nice cars outside and having a good church inside. They were suffering, but that does not change they were chosen by God. God has chosen His people to worship Him. So we worship God in suffering, worship God in good times. Worshipping God in the challenges at home, whatever is happening, we continue to worship God. We to continue to come together as the body of Christ, not to forsake or neglect the coming together of Christians. What did Jesus says in John chapter number 15, verse 16? You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. You did not choose God. God chose you. And that is what Peter tells them. If you turn to 2 Peter chapter number 2, verse 9 and 10. What is Peter saying there? He says, but you are a chosen race. You see, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellences of Him who called you where? Out of your darkness to His marvelous light. Once you were not a people of God. In other words, once you were far off yourself, once you were among the people who are actually strangers to God. Although they're calling you strangers, you were once among them, but now we are God's people. We have received the mercy of God. We are a chosen people of God. God has chosen the believers to present Him as a holy God among the unbelievers in this world. You read that in Matthew chapter number 5, verse 16. Let your light shine before others so that they may see your God. They may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. That is what God has chosen us to be. To be the light of the world, that the world may look unto God. God has chosen the believer so that the believer will evangelize the lost in this world. That the believer may preach the good news of the kingdom of God. Matthew 28, verse 19 to 20. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you till the end of the earth. God has chosen the believer for such a work. God has chosen this believer to bring a heavenly influence in a worldly and earthly place of wicked influence like this. He has chosen us to be the emblem of light. He has chosen the believer to go out and love those who hate them. These people, Peter is encouraging them to love those who hate them. That is what God has chosen us to be. To love those who hate us for no reason at all. For an unreasonable reason they hate you. God says, go love them. Go pray for those who mistreat you. He has chosen us to be those who love our enemies. Love your enemies as you love yourself. When your enemy is asking for help, remember Matthew chapter number 5, when your enemy is asking for help, you go out, you help your enemy. God has chosen us to be those kind of people. God has chosen the believer for salvation, church. Therefore, persecution does not mean our status has changed with God. The reason I'm saying these things, it might seem to these people that God had forsaken them. That is why Peter begins with these words. You are an elect of God. Your suffering, your persecution, that the fact that you are being burnt at the stake does not mean that God has forsaken you. Our present suffering, whatever suffering we may be going through, especially suffering for the sake of the gospel, does not mean that God has forsaken you. You will always remain God's elect. You will always remain the exile in this world. In a bad way that the people look at you as a stranger, but in a good way that God also look at you as a stranger in the world that you live in. So it does not change the fact that God loved you and sent His Son into the world to die for your sin. The suffering of this world does not change the fact that you are suffering the very suffering of Christ. So do not forget that you are suffering the suffering of Christ. He Himself suffered at the hands of the people of this world, but more so, He also suffered at the hands of a faithful God. He suffered for the sin of a people whom He loved dearly. He was pierced for a transgression, crushed, and the chastisement that brought us peace was laid upon Him, says the scripture. Jesus suffered. Jesus was persecuted. The apostles were persecuted. Suffering, church, can come to anyone at any time. But what is necessary, what is needed, is for us to remember we remain the people of God regardless the suffering that is around us. Let me close like this. Persecution does not come to us because we are less loved by God. The persecution that came to this church, that it didn't mean they were less loved by God. So we continue to love God in times of persecution and suffering. Regardless of what you're going through, we continue to hold on to God. You never, never let go of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not lack of suffering, church, that determines that God loves us. Lack of suffering does not determine that God loves us. What determines that God loves us? The fact that He sent His Son to die on the cross for us. The fact that He still calls us His elect determines that God loves us. Persecution does not come to us because we have sinned. These people did not sin. They had not sinned. That is why they were in this situation. So persecution does not come because you have sinned. Suffering does not come upon you because you have sinned. But don't let then persecution, when it comes, to cause you to sin. To sin in a way that you also hate the people who make you suffer. Don't hate those who hate you. Love those who hate you as well. Persecution must not change the inner man that is in you, the man that Christ has put in you. Persecution, church, affected the apostles, it affected the Lord Jesus Christ. So when persecution comes, when suffering comes, let us not think that something unusual has come upon us. But what must we do? Let us be fervent in prayer. Let us hold on in prayer to the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, we are not persecuted here, but it can be any time. But maybe you are going through your personal persecution as a person, or your personal suffering, but for whatever form, let us pray for one another. Pray for the persecuted church that is out there. Pray for the suffering Christians among us. Let persecution remind you that this world is not your permanent residence, that we are passing by from this world. Our world is beyond the stars. Our world is beyond what men can see. We belong to God. Our residence is in heaven, where Christ is. Our best life is not now. Our best life is still to come. Remember, you are God's elect, and let that be your daily song. In persecution, in trouble, I am God's elect. I am loved by God. He sent His Son. He chose me among the multitude, and He died for me on the cross, that in due time I may believe. Now I believe. Praise to God. Hallelujah. Amen. That was the introduction of this letter. We'll get then into the letter next week, God willingly. God bless you. Let us pray.